Chapter 10, Providence of God. We have considered a little of the creation of God, the creatures which he has made, and especially of his creature man. Now, having formed all these, can we for a moment suppose that he would leave them without any regard for them or control over them? Some have tried to imagine such a state of things, as though God would have made all these creatures and have no further care or concern about them. Such infidel considerations are begotten of a desire to banish all thought of God from the mind. So the wicked endeavor to persuade themselves that God will not regard their wickedness. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he shall never see it. Psalm 10, verse 11. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Psalm 94, verses 6 and 7. Even the Lord's ancient people of Israel and Judah trusted in this refuge of lies. The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. Ezekiel 9, verse 9. The scriptures know no such doctrine as this, but clearly manifest that God, who made all things, has his eye continually upon his creatures, guiding, controlling, overruling all for his own glory and to bring about his own purposes. Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Amos 3, verse 6. Not that the Lord will do evil, but he will permit trouble to come as a chastening to his people, or as judgment upon the wicked. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without his notice. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. Matthew 10, verse 29. His eye is upon all his creatures, and his hand controls all events. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth, and especially the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalm 33, verses 13 to 18. He will bring his purposes to pass concerning these, and all things shall work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8, verse 28. But upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Psalm 11, verse 6. Hence, there is a cup of mixture in the hand of the Lord. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Psalm 75, verse 8. There is nothing too small for him to notice, nor too great for him to control. He provides food for man and beast. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Matthew 6, verse 26. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand. They are filled with good. Psalm 104, verses 21, 27, and 28. So for man also, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. Psalm 65, verses 9 to 13. So minute is his tender and watchful care that the very hairs of the head are all numbered. Matthew 10, verse 30. What great things also are under his control and management. He gathers the wind in his fists and the waters in a garment. Proverbs 30, verse 4. So that even the wind and the sea obey him. Mark 4, verse 41. He measures the waters in the hollow of his hand and metes out heaven with the span and comprehends the dust of the earth in a measure and weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Isaiah 40, verses 12 and 15. He can open the windows of heaven and cause an overwhelming flood, as in the days of Noah, or rain fire and brimstone from heaven, as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. He sends forth his lightnings and thunders to do his pleasure, or causes the earth to open and swallow up the wicked. The scriptures are full of instances of his overruling control of all events to bring his own purposes to pass. In this way, the designs of men have been made to accomplish the purposes of God contrary to their own intentions. Joseph's brethren sold him into Egypt, thinking to get rid of him and of his dreams, but they are thereby made instrumental towards the fulfilling of those very dreams, and also to the preservation of themselves and their father Jacob. Hence Joseph said to them, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Genesis 50, verse 20. "And again, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Genesis 45, verse 7. Saul, the son of Kish, went to find his father's asses, which were lost. But it was to be met by Samuel, who had been instructed to anoint him king of Israel. Haman designed the destruction of Mordecai and thought he had gained his end when he had made the gallows and intended to ask the king to let him hang Mordecai thereon. But that night could not the king sleep, and he called for the royal records to be read to him, and it was found there recorded that Mordecai had saved the king's life. So, when Haman comes in to the king to ask that Mordecai might be hanged, the king asked him what should be done unto the man that the king delighteth to honor. When Haman had enumerated the things that he thought ought to be done to such a man, thinking the king must surely mean himself, he was instead told to go and do those very things to Mordecai, much to his own confusion. Then, as you know, Haman was hanged on the gallows which he had made for Mordecai. Again, the king of Assyria fought against Israel, thinking to destroy them as he had done many other nations. But God was in it all, sending chastisement to his own people and bringing them into captivity for their sins. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. Isaiah 10, verses 5 and 7. Presently we see that the Lord punishes the king of Assyria by taking away his kingdom. But the greatest contrivances of the providence of God to bring about his own designs are to be seen in connection with the coming and work of his own beloved Son. Through all the ages, from the promise of the Messiah made to our first parents, the line of descent was maintained through the Hebrew patriarchs and David and his royal house until the fullness of the time came when the seed of the woman should be brought forth. At that very time, the decree of Caesar had gone forth that all the world should be taxed, which brought Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the royal city of Bethlehem, whence Christ should come. Then Herod the king slew all the young children in Bethlehem, thinking to destroy the promised king of the Jews. But God had forewarned them that the child Jesus be taken down into Egypt. How many times also the scribes and Pharisees sought to destroy him, but this could not happen until the appointed time had come that he should die. Then he gave himself up into their hands and voluntarily laid down his life for the redemption of his people. But the intention of the Jews was to get rid of him, and this, they thought, had been effected at his crucifixion, instead of which they were but fulfilling the purposes of God, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up. Acts 2, verse 23. How great and solemn, then, is the providence of God in controlling, overruling, preserving, guiding, and managing all things for his own glory and his people's best interests. How good it is when his people are enabled to believe that all their circumstances, from the least to the greatest, are subject to his eye, that nothing can harm them if they be followers of that which is good. Nothing can happen to them without his permission, and they can lack nothing that is really essential for them. What need we have to commit all things into his gracious hands, who never makes a mistake and cannot do but what is best? Too wise to be mistaken, he, too good to be unkind. What need also we have to seek guidance of him in all our matters, that he would show us the way wherein we should go, and guide our doubtful footsteps, who alone knows the future, and what will be best for us, and for his own honor and glory. May we be enabled to depend on him for every supply, look to him to guide us through the wilderness, trust in him in all our concerns, and submit to his holy will in all his providences toward us.